The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development with your host, Pamela Robinson. International organizations, government agencies, and communities are addressing the challenges of developing a highly skilled, productive workforce to support positive economic and social impact. By staying on the cutting edge, you and your business stay ahead. Now, here is your host, Pamela Robinson.
Welcome back to this week's show. I'm Pamela Robinson, and we are focusing, of course, on the issues that shape and the trends that we're seeing in workforce learning and development. And one of the issues, of course, that many nations and many countries are facing is rebuilding or building their economy. And one way to do that is to look, of course, at workforce development, but also business development. So this week's show, I want to dedicate to an aspect of business development and focus on collaborating with women-owned led companies. And I'm so pleased today to have with us Roz Lewis, who's the president and CEO of the Greater Women's Business Council here in Georgia. Welcome, Roz.
Thank you, Pam. It's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Oh, good. It's so nice to have you. And Roz, tell us a little bit about the Greater Women's Business Council, or GWBC, and what your role is there.
Well, the Greater Women's Business Council is a regional partner organization of the Women's Business Enterprise National Council, and we are a third-party certifying organization for major corporations and now for the federal government. And my role is to literally lead the day-to-day operation of engaging women businesses in opportunities for networking, as well as education opportunities to grow their business.
Okay, that's great. And so with saying that it's Greater Women's, you're covering several regional territories, right?
Yes, we cover Georgia, the state of Georgia, as well as North Carolina and South Carolina.
Okay, and we'll get more into that a little bit later through the show. But that's really good. And so since we're focusing on collaborating with women-owned and led companies, Roz, tell our listeners a little bit about, I mean, what is the value of investing in women-owned led companies?
Well, one of the values of investing in women-owned led company is really, you know, from a consumer. You have over 8 million women businesses just here in the U.S. alone. And when you think about that, these are women businesses who employ and will literally affect the economy by purchasing products and services from other corporations. But the other value that they also bring is being able to be a key supplier in order for that corporation to push their product or service to the marketplace.
Ah, wonderful. And so now you mentioned you gave the numbers for the U.S., but I want to also extend that to our international listeners, too, because this flows into developed countries as well as developing and growth companies and markets. The influence of buying and making those decisions. So it's not just the firm itself, it's also the fact that women-owned firms influence that entire supply chain.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. And Roz, what are companies doing today? You mentioned that you kind of facilitate that process with, you know, strategic partners. What are some of the things that you're seeing of how companies engage or collaborate with women-owned firms?
I think one of the best examples is the Coca-Cola Company. The Coca-Cola Company has an initiative to have 5 million women businesses by the year 2020. And to be, and they started outside of the U.S., as a matter of fact. So they are in a global marketplace of developing women businesses around the world. And part of that is to increase market share. So it's great business sense. It also helps fuel the communities of those women businesses and, in essence, improves the overall economic value, you know, globally is what it does. And, you know, then you also have Wells Fargo, who announced in March a $55 billion loan initiative to support women businesses as well. And this is the type of partnership and engagement that you want to see from your corporate members, especially doing this, because it's going to require that type of engagement in order for the economy to thrive.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a win-win situation.
Those are two good examples. And Roz, I think you're right on point with that. We've mentioned that several times, is the issues that we're facing now are way too big for one entity to take on themselves.
Absolutely. I agree.
And so have you noticed that any particular industries for women-owned firms that may bring more attraction to them, or is it across the board?
The good news is that women businesses are breaking barriers in non-traditional space. You know, some of our largest WBEs, women business enterprises, even within our organization, are in non-traditional space such as logistics, you know, transportation, and globally. You know, of course, IT, you know, that a lot of women businesses are engaged in that. Construction, you know, as the economy continues to grow, as the opportunity to, I would say, navigate into these areas, I think that there's more openness and reception from entities such as major corporations and even government entities to realize the value that women businesses bring to the table.
That's interesting, and I think it also poses an opportunity for women to consider looking at different industries that they may get into and rethinking what that industry actually does. And I know you mentioned for logistics, on the particularly supply chain logistics and transportation. I mean, there is a huge shortage there as far as talent is concerned over the next several years. And those are opportunities that can pose great benefits.
Yes. You know, and if we continue to listen, you know, and pay attention to what's happening. You know, the media, of course, is a real good resource, such as your show, and understand how the dynamics are changing, because we are in another evolution, right, of how we will be conducting business in the future.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this particular episode forward, to at least have that discussion, extend that discussion between the partnerships, between the collaboration with community as well. And to illustrate this, I mean, I'm probably can say I'm being a little biased here of using Georgia as an example. And the reason for that is because we are a very close-knit business community. But it does put that mark on the wall to say things that can work well and things that might need improvement as well.
Yes. But one thing, you know, Pam, that I think we should always look at is understanding what does the consumer want, because the consumer pretty much dictates any of our new products or services. We should always be challenging that status quo to make sure that we are providing what we need to, whether it's on a prime supplier side or on the consumer side.
Absolutely, and that attention to detail.
Yes.
Are there, as women go into different industries that may not have had that much engagement by them in the past, are there any things that you're seeing that either the businesses themselves that are run by women or the partners for the larger firms, any adjustments that have to be made?
I think there's always going to be adjustments. And yes, we are seeing that. If we look at the percentages, you know, once again, even with government-led opportunities, we're still hovering, you know, less than 5% of doing business with women businesses. And it's going to take, really, I think, people coming to the table, understanding the fact that women do have the capability of running their businesses, leading their businesses, managing people, in order to provide that product or service, and especially in the non-traditional. I think the challenges that we run into more than anything is when there are men involved in that woman-owned business, and that person may be the expert. But I think it's very astute of that woman to hire the expert, whether it's a male or a female. She is doing what is necessary in order to support her operation and support her product or service.
Absolutely, because then it goes beyond, it's not a gender issue, it's a matter of running an enterprise.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Now Raj, you mentioned the 5%. Just briefly kind of talk about that so people know what we mean by the 5%.
Well, all the federal government as well as the private corporate entities have spend goals with women businesses. And it's only been recently, actually in 2011, where the federal government approved a certain percentage of contracts that would be set aside for women businesses, and this is under the Women-Owned Small Business Program. And understand that this is through the federal government. The private entity does the same thing. They offer an opportunity for women businesses to do business with them in providing products or services, whether it's on the first-tier level, which is direct, you know, spend with that particular corporate member, or on a sub-tier level. And either way, it is supporting the supply chain, but it's how do we increase the number of women businesses and get rid of those stereotypes of thinking that women businesses don't have the capability in order, you know, to support, mm-hmm. you know, that company's initiatives or even the federal government's initiative.
Absolutely. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more because I think what would be helpful for the listeners is to quantify what the dollar amount that we're talking about, because it's fine to have the laws in place. That's wonderful. But at the end of the day, it's basically what's available in the account from a cash perspective.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Do you have professionals waiting to get a seat in a required acquisition course? Why not bring DAWEA certification courses to your local community? Financial Voyages LLC is partnered with the Department of Defense's Corporate University, Defense Acquisition University, DAU, as a certified equivalent provider offering DAWEA certification courses. Call us at 770-379-0950 to discuss the benefits of becoming a local host organization for DAWEA certification courses by Financial Voyages LLC, or go to www.teamfv.com.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. You are tuned in to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development. To reach Pamela Robinson or today's guest, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to fvradio@teamfv.com. Now, back to the future of workforce learning and development.
Welcome back. If you're just now joining us, we are here talking with Roz Lewis, the president and CEO of the Greater Women's Business Council, and we're focused on collaborating with women-owned led companies. And Roz, before we went to break, we were talking about some of the certifications and so forth for the federal government and the percentage that are the goals that they're trying to reach of engaging more women.
Yes, and one of the things, you know, with the women-owned small business, for your listeners, is to understand that this certification is going to be based on the North American industry codes. So depending upon what product or service that you provide and whatever your NAICS code is, the NAIC code, it will determine whether or not you would be certified as a woman-owned small business. You could still be certified as a, you know, a woman-owned business, which doesn't have a limit on revenues. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing I just want to make sure that we're clear on. And there's, of course, quite a bit of information at SBA.org for the Small Business Administration.
Absolutely. So check it out, guys, because, again, there used to be a cap for the set-asides, and they have lifted that by law. And that's something that you can kind of look into, because then it gives you more opportunities. But, again, you still have to go through the process of, you know, competition or having the contracting officer state that all other requirements have been met before they can make it a set-aside. Okay, good. So then Roz, taking that, let's talk about certification then, because you all are a big part of your business is certification, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we're very proud of our certification just because of the process that one has to go through in order to be certified as a women-owned small business. And the components of that is that you are independently owned, operated, and controlled. And the minimum is 51%. So you must be at least 51% owned, operated, and controlled. And we also conduct 100% site visit.
Okay. So you want to see the evidence. So you just can't say, yes, I am woman-owned, women-led on paper. There has to be someone that comes out and does the site visit. So, Roz, walk us through the certification process. Let's say if you're a growing firm and you see the value of, you know, obtaining your certification, then what steps do we have to go through? But first, let's talk about Roz, what is the value of certification?
Well, the value of certification, one of the things we always advocate is this is just a tool. This isn't a tool to say that you are real and substantial as a woman-owned business. One, because of the opportunities that private sector provides through their spend goals with diverse suppliers, and now with the federal government, with the Women-Owned Small Business Program. But the other value of having your certification It's an opportunity to network amongst women businesses and major corporations, because we have some women businesses just within our region whose revenues are up to $500 million. Nationally, with the Women Business Enterprise National Council, those women businesses are up to $8 billion in revenue. So we advocate that you network and support other women businesses as well. We call it walking the talk. And then there Absolutely. Are education components that we have, whether it's through our learning labs or our Tables of Eight events. It's that opportunity for you to grow your business. And once again, when we think about it, the focus has been on small business, but I really think the focus should be on women business, regardless of what size, they are. And this certification provides, gives you that ticket, if you want to use it as an analysis, an analogy, to be able to become engaged in an organization that is all about the growth and development of women businesses.
Absolutely. Ross, how many members do you all have?
Currently, in our region, we have 935 members, and that's between Georgia, North, and South Carolina.
Okay. And you said generating how much in revenue or different type sizes?
Right. We have approximately 123 women businesses that are over $10 million in revenue.
Okay.
And they're up to $500 million.
Yeah, so we're talking about definitely an impact on the economy.
Absolutely. Yes, our women businesses, the last number, employ just within our region over 39,000 people. So that is an impact on the economy.
Oh, absolutely, with jobs, and then you can go on and on and on from that.
Exactly.
Okay, awesome. So from the certification piece, so you've given several examples of the value, the networking, and I think also one is, since we're talking about collaboration, also partnering with one another, right?
This, I think, is one area that is so key. Partnering with other women businesses, Pam, allows you, number one, to learn about that business so that you may be able to pay it forward due to an opportunity. But at the same time, it also allows you to become more empowered as a woman-owned business, because that collaboration could take place in an agreement, a teaming agreement, in order to win that contract. And you always want to know your partners, right, of whom you're going in business with.
Mm-hmm. So that does pose a great opportunity of not just the networking, but also negotiating amongst each other to go after larger contracts.
Yeah, and capitalizing on each other's strength in order to make sure that you all are very competitive in that marketplace.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that out because I think a lot of times companies will look and say, well, I want a partner, and it's always with a larger firm that they're thinking is going to give them, the best leverage, when in fact you could do a consortium, or even, a few companies could partner and build off of each other's strengths.
I agree. And that's one of the things we will say at times, or I will say when I'm talking to our women businesses, is take a page, out of the corporate playbook, and understanding that that's what they do. They create consortiums, they create teaming agreements in order to compete, because we're now, as they say, the world is getting smaller and smaller. Well, it's true, and especially in the supply chain arena. So there are opportunities not just to collaborate locally, and when I say locally, meaning here in the U.S., but on a global perspective. WeBank, the Women's Business Enterprise National Council, has a partnership with WeConnect, and that particular organization does the certification outside of the U.S. in
yes.
different countries.
Yes. So you guys can see where this is going, not just in North America, but also internationally as well. So Roz, let's say that if a company is not certified and they would like to be considered certified, whether it's initially women-owned or becomes women-owned, what's the process? What do they need to do to prepare, you know what I mean, the certification? Or how do they just have a site visit that shows up? Or walk us through that process.
Well, it is somewhat laborious. It is a process that takes 60 to 90 days because we are going to be asking for a lot of information, such as the history of your business, 3 years of your tax returns, depending upon also how your business is structured, whether or not it's your bylaws, operating agreement, if you're an LLC, and additional information, your incorporation papers. So there's a lot of information that we are going to be asking because we want to review it to make sure that it all leads to that woman applicant owning the business because of the criteria of WeBank. And this information can be found at WeBank.org, WBENC.org, because once again, it's going to depend on how you're structured, sole proprietor, LLC, or major corporation. Once we gather all that information, we then have a review committee, and that review committee reviews it. After that is taken place, we then schedule that site visit with you. And it has to be mutual as far as the date and time. And even when during the site visit, we're going to ask you more questions because we want to get to know you and learn more about your business and the structure of your business. The takeaway, or I would say the benefit of going through our certification process is, for one, you know, we're all real busy as business owners, is the fact that you're going to have all your paperwork in one location now. It is all together, including your birth certificate as well as your passport.
Absolutely. And I would say, and you may or may not get into this particular area, but I think it's really important not just to know where your documents are, like the legal documents, but know your numbers.
Yes. Yes, your financial numbers, because we're going to ask for that as well. We're going to always ask for all your financial documents, your balance sheet, your cash flow, as well as your profit and loss statement.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that's really important, is to know your numbers, not that, you know, one department does that for you or not. Just as a business owner, regardless if it's woman-owned or not, know what your numbers mean. What does it translate into so you can make wise decisions?
Yes. Yeah, and I, you know, I think every business owner, we all, you know, start our businesses for various reasons. And we all have our strengths as we continue to grow our business. But the one strength that every woman business should focus on are the financial documents of their business, mm-hmm. truly understanding that.
Exactly. So this is really good. I think it's going to be helpful for a lot of people. And then they know also, Roz, I don't know if you gave the website out already.
For our website?
Yes.
Our website is G as in George, W, B as in Baker, C as in Charlie, .biz, B-I-Z. And if you go to our website, you will find out more information, not only about our organization, but also what the opportunities are on a national level as well.
Absolutely. When we come back from break, Roz, I want to talk about some of your signature events that happen and anything that's coming up now. And then also go into, where are you guys going next? What's the vision of the organization? So stay tuned, y'all. We'll be right back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. Do you have professionals waiting to get a seat in a required acquisition course? Why not bring DWIA certification courses to your local community? Financial Voyages LLC is partnered with the Department of Defense's Corporate University, Defense Acquisition University, DAU, as a certified equivalent provider offering DWIA certification courses. Call us at 770-379-0950 to discuss the benefits of becoming a local host organization for DWIA certification courses by Financial Voyages LLC, or go to www.teamfv.com.
Are the challenges of economic uncertainty and the pressures of global competition wreaking havoc on your company strategy? To succeed in today's fast-paced, high-tech business landscape, companies must continually adapt while driving innovation and exploiting new opportunities. Listen for Quantum Business Insights with host Olivia Parr Rood. Our guests will include thought leaders from around the world discussing and exploring the concepts that will move companies forward in these uncertain times. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development. To reach Pamela Robinson or today's guest, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to fvradio@teamfv.com. Now, back to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development.
Okay, so we were talking about, you know, collaborating with women-owned-led companies, and Raj, you gave a really good examples and illustration of the certification process for women-owned firms to become certified. And, okay, so then what happens then after certification? So you get your certification, woohoo, you do the happy dance, but you still have to run the company. So how are women scaling their firms? How do you move from that that certain level to get unstuck at a certain revenue level or employee level?
Well, one of the things I think is important, and of course, once again, your product or service is going to have to be relevant. That is going to be key. So in starting your business, always, always focusing on what is the market demanding? Or how do you create that demand so that the market will buy it? And, you know, we talk about market, but literally we're talking about people. We're talking about consumers. And sometimes it's not always that you are going to be business to consumer. You may be B2B, but you're still supporting in that supply chain of providing that service or product in order to, once again, to get those, that ROI, right? That return on dollars. So I literally strongly encourage WBEs, Women Business Enterprises, to be engaged in their organizations, such as the Greater Women's Business Council. It's going to require that networking. It's going to require you becoming visible. You want to remain top of mind because you have competition. Unless you're the only supplier in the world that provides that product or service, you have competition, and it's not always a large business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rare that you're going to be the only one that does it. And if it is, it won't be for long.
Right.
So if you are going through that process and you're paying attention to your customers, which is so critical, and also always re-looking to make sure you're providing, and I love that you put relevant in there, relevant products and services, engaging, you know, the demands and the expectations of the customer's needs.
Right. And I think now, and I'm not just, you know, a lot of corporations, as well as women businesses, should be looking at the why in their business. It's called the golden circle, and It's almost like I'm giving a plug, in a sense, is Simon Sinek. He's written a book, Starting with Why, that I just think is great read for any business, because we know what we're selling. We know how, but the question is, why are we doing it? And that's how you continue to reinvent yourself. That's how you continue, you know, to be compelling, you know, and creating more of a diverse group of stakeholders, you know, to create that innovation. Because those are the buzzwords today, right? Being innovative. Because our society just moves at such a rapid pace now. So the bell curve of how long a product stays to market is getting shorter and shorter, because people are constantly looking for the next best thing. So that, in essence, is one of the things I think, if I want to share with your audience, that is what they need to focus on.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And I think that it not only that piece of it, but I think the why helps you when you get to a point where you become exhausted of running the day-to-day.
Yes.
And to help you move to that next stage, that's that motivation that helps you get there. It also helps you lead the company to the next level.
Yes. And we as women, we are always, of course, taking care of others, right? So one of the things we have to do, someone told me once, it's not about balance, it's about harmony. Because trying to balance, some ball is going to always drop. So therefore, you want to see how you can make the things that are affecting your business or even your personal life, which is a part of your business, how do you create harmony amongst the two, in order to make you, as the woman business leader, a better leader?
Yeah, and that, I think that ties right into the topic of the show of collaborating, and then the collaboration piece. Now, Raj, you hear a lot about, you know, oh, well, you need to work on the business, not in the business. Tell us about what that means.
Well, I think that's at different stages. I think that when any business owner, when they're first starting out, they, unless they're able to pull together a team, you know, that can help them immediately grow the business, you're going to be wearing different hats. But you decide at some point where you realize you're going to need other expertise to allow you to be the visionary for your business. And I think that's the part of where you kind of get out of the way of your success, in order to allow those who do have those niche expertise components that you need to facilitate the day-to-day operation of your business, be able to actualize that. And I think that's what that is. It also involves education tools. And so you're going to have to learn how to do this, especially if you're so accustomed to doing everything. And here at the Greater Women's Business Council, we provide those. And they're usually, you know, through scholarships, such as the Growth Smart program that is here in Georgia, that's sponsored by the Small Business Development Center and Georgia Power, or the TUC program, which is, of course, once you have scaled, because there you're looking at businesses that are well over $1 million in revenue, you know, and how they take their business to the next level. So there are tools and resources that are available to women businesses, and some of them are free.
Yes. And I think that's a good point, is that there, and particularly I can speak for Georgia, that there are so many resources available to help you grow your companies at every stage. And the more that you scale, it gets sweeter and sweeter, I'll tell you, because going into, let's say, second stage, after you've gone through startup, I mean, you've got the Georgia or the Governor's Mentor Protégé Program, where you have large firms partnering with emerging and smaller firms. And then, Roz, like you were just mentioning, some of the programs with WeBank, which is the Women's Business Enterprise National Council, you mentioned TUC. And so that's a partnership with IBM, and it's an executive education program, so it will help you develop your leadership skills. What other programs, Roz, did you also mention?
Well, we also have signature programs and events. We have our own mentor protege program, and instead of it being WBE the corporation, it is Women Business Enterprise to Women in the Business Enterprise, because there are uniques in being an entrepreneur and being a business owner and growing the businesses, and we want to create an environment of understanding, and not only understanding, of mentoring. So for those women businesses who have been in the trenches and have gone through and literally overcome, or should I say, have at least reached, you know, the top of that mountain, how they literally turn and extend that arm of support to other women businesses who are also trying to grow and develop as well. And this program has been in existence now for over 5 years for us, and we've been very successful with it, and it is now in Georgia, North, and South Carolina.
Oh, that's awesome. And so there's a couple of things there. One is, with collaboration, women talk and they share information of where to get the best resources and kind of their own lessons learned and experiences too.
Yes, and you always want to create an environment to allow that leader to be able to talk to someone who understands.
Mm-hmm. Now, Roz, that's really important that you bring the framework of the mentor protege program for two reasons. One is because it does provide that added support, but it also shows women how to sit on a board.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And our board of directors is comprised of women businesses as well as major corporations. And that's key. And of course, more and more corporations are beginning to realize the value of having women on boards as well as women businesses on their boards.
Yeah, that's becoming a really hot topic even more. We had an episode on, you know, women on boards as well. So for the board for the mentor protege, what's the criteria if you are a mentor, and what's the criteria if you're a protege in order to apply?
Well, first of all, you do have to be certified as a woman-owned business with our organization, because these are one of the tools and resources that we want to provide our certified women businesses. For a mentor, we do have a threshold of revenue, because once again, we're looking for that WBE, that Women Business Enterprise, that is experienced. And that threshold is $1 million. So you need to be $1 million plus to sit on this panel board as a mentor. And as a protege, we recommend that the minimum is $100,000 in order to be a part of the mentor protege program. And the beauty of this type of environment is, although you have the title of the mentor board and the protege, you learn from each other. There's so many opportunities to learn from each other.
That's wonderful. I think one of the common threads that we've seen in various episodes of the show of focusing on, you know, workforce learning and development and this aspect of the business development side is, particularly with women, they like to see role models. They want to see not just how you're running your business, but how does it fit into your whole life?
Yeah, yes. And that has always been key. If you think about it, as we are women, we've grown up with role models, you know, of women. And one of the reasons for that, I call it trailblazing. So you're looking at who has trailblazed in this area that you can also either emulate or set your own trail, right? But yes, you want to be able to not hopefully make some of the same, face some of the same challenges that they may have faced. Or you at least know how they overcame that challenge. And that helps you.
Okay, good, good. So I know that we're giving some of our listeners some good tools that they can kind of zoom in on and continue to refer back to. So when we come back from break, Roz, I want to know where you're going to take the organization. What's the vision? What's next? What's the next chapter? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Do you have professionals waiting to get a seat in a required acquisition course? Why not bring DWIA certification courses to your local community? Financial Voyages LLC is partnered with the Department of Defense's Corporate University, Defense Acquisition University, DAU, as a certified equivalent provider offering DWIA certification courses. Call us at 770-379-0950 to discuss the benefits of becoming a local host organization for DWIA certification courses by Financial Voyages LLC, or go to www.teamfv.com.
If you want to know about investing in emerging and frontier markets, or if you have experience in this field but still need to know more, tune in to Emerging and Frontier Markets Investing with Gavin Graham. Gavin explores news, current trends, and insights about both categories of investing. His guest experts, along with his own knowledge, will help you stay above the line when it comes to growth potential, whether in funds or equities. He will look at what to invest in and avoid. Tune in to Emerging and Frontier Markets Investing with Gavin Graham every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development. To reach Pamela Robinson or today's guest, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to fvradio@teamfv.com. Now, back to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. We are talking about collaborating with women-owned led companies. Again, we are trying to boost economies, not just in North America, but also globally. So this is just an example and a resource for those of you, regardless of what country that you're in, to kind of see some of the things that we're doing here in the U.S. as well as internationally, and in this particular region, from certification into signature events and having boards where you have, you know, growing firms with those have already been there, done that, and are continuing to scale. Now, so Roz, you have all this going on. What's the next chapter for GWBC? Where are you going next? What's the vision?
Well, one of the things we decided to do was to look at our current vision. And in doing so, we realized that we wanted to cast a wider net to engage more women businesses, even beyond certification. So the board of directors, a couple of months ago, we literally revised our vision. And our vision now is to be the leader of our tomorrow by empowering women businesses today. And the key word there is empowering women businesses, because that is the future. And this is also probably as a result of even having a keynote speaker at one of our annual signature events, our Power Partnering Marketplace, that's usually held during the third quarter of the year. We had a speaker that spoke about the future leadership and how women and men who think like them will rule the future. And that was John Gersma. So I encourage people, you know, to become enlightened. And that's from a global perspective as well, you know, all of this information regarding that. But what was key and important is making sure that our certified women businesses walked away with the tools and resources that they felt would help them grow their businesses. And you're going to hear that a lot, you know, empowerment and what does that mean? And so we're creating these focus groups to allow our women businesses to help us pretty much, you know, determine what that future is going to look like for the organization. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're looking for that innovation. We're looking for bold leaders, you know, in order for us to be able to thrive as an organization. But in turn, what it does is sometimes help them see of how strong and bold they are and what contribution they make to this economy.
Absolutely. That's really good. And you brought up some really good points. And I think also looking from the role model pieces, being able to see firms that are scaling and that you can have aspirations to run a 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, 100 million dollar company and beyond that. But first, of course, understanding why you want to do that in the first place.
Yes. And, you know, and one thing I think we need to always tell ourselves that as women, even though it's something that happens every day to us that we don't recognize, is the resiliency that we have. Mm-hmm. And how you parlay that into your business. Because we do. We deal with so many things on a day-to-day basis. And that is the same attribute. Those are the same strengths that you would use and utilize in growing your business that you're also going to have to impart into your employees as well.
Really interesting. So are you? Do you have a set number, Roz, of where the level that you are helping the women grow to, or is it just keeping that broad scale?
We're right now going to take a broad stroke with this. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because, you know, with the 900 plus certified WBEs we have, it's such a diverse population of revenue. And so we're going to segment that. Our programs are going to be tailored now according to the needs and levels of growth. So for what a startup would need, of course, is going to be totally different from a company that's been in existence for maybe 10 or 15 years and sitting at revenues of $400 million.
Exactly. You and there's a lot of programs for startups, too.
Exactly. And so one of the areas we want to focus on is those WBEs who have large businesses. You know, and the key word there is succession planning, whether in legacy. You know, what is the legacy that they want to leave regarding their business? You know, are they interested in selling? Do they need investors to take their business to the next level? And how can the Greater Women's Business Council assist them in that, you know, creating that environment that will allow them to thrive and also reach what their dreams are for their business.
Absolutely. So how can companies get involved? How can the strategic partners, how can the community get involved to help these women scale and grow and make sure they do have succession plans?
Well, one of the things we're always interested in is having more corporate partners. Major corporate partners. And we're talking about those corporations that get it, that truly understand the value of women businesses, and they're out there. And if they don't really get it right now, we'll help them do that as well, because the current corporate members of the Greater Women's Business Council, I will say, are engaged. They are involved in our matchmaking sessions that we have that are normally held at our Power Partnering Marketplace, and we're extending those as well. We just had one at our award ceremony. Believe it or not, before the award ceremony, we literally had a matchmaking session, because the more women businesses become involved and engage or in front of that particular corporation, then you tend to become top of mind with that corporation. Mm-hmm. And those are the areas that we're looking for. We will partner with the Coca-Cola company on their initiative to reach that 5 million, you know, by the year 2020. And we are looking forward to doing the same thing, you know, with other corporations like Wells Fargo and their initiative.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good note to end on. And I just want to extend huge gratitude to our corporations that get it and that are including more women-owned and led firms into their supply chains and looking at them as partners, viewing them as partners of the products and services that they're bringing to the marketplace.
And thank you, Pam. I can't thank you enough for giving me this opportunity to speak to your audience about the Greater Women's Business Council and the value, you know, that women businesses bring globally.
Awesome. Ross, thanks so much for being on the show, and hopefully this gave you all some insight and additional resources to help grow not just your companies but also your communities, of creating more jobs and also making sure that it enriches lives and families as well. Thanks for staying tuned, and talk to you next time. Thanks, Ross. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you again for listening to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development. Please join your host, Pamela Robinson, again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great week.